Just heard chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. A sermon series is the title of God's Mercy. And I would just like to do a quick whiz through of the story of Jonah. So it goes something like this. A long time ago there was a city called Nineveh. And the people there did not know God. And they were very bad people. They were evil people. Just as bad as it gets. Now, there was also a man named Jonah, who knew God and loved God. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and warn the people. But Jonah's response to this is, "What? Are you kidding? You can't be serious, Lord. I don't want to go. They're all sinners. They deserve to be destroyed, Lord." So, God insisted, and Noah decided to do a runner. He went to the coast, and he jumped on a boat, and he got some sailors to take him across the sea. And then there was a big storm, so big, in fact, that the seamen were afraid, and they started to throw everything overboard to save the ship. And they turned to Noah, the only stranger on the ship, and they asked, "Have you done something to make your God angry?" And Jonah said, "Well, yes, I have. The God who created the heavens and the earth and the sea told me to do something. And I didn't want to do it, so I'm running away." And the sailor said, "Why? Why would you do that?" And they started to ask him questions. "What should we do now to save ourselves?" they said. And Jonah said, "It's all my fault. Throw me into the sea." And full credit to the sailors. At first they said no, but Jonah insisted. And then they said, "Yes, okay." And finally, the sailors threw Jonah into the sea. And immediately, the storm ceased. And the sailors believed in God. And the sailors said, "Thank you, Lord. We will serve you from now on." And then a big fish came and swallowed Jonah. So this very big fish swallows Jonah. And Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Can you imagine what it was like in the gut of that fish? Could you imagine the smell, let alone anything else? And Jonah thought he was going to die. And Jonah thought he was in hell. And he prayed to God. Jonah prayed, "Help me, Lord. I love you, Lord. Salvation comes from you, Lord." And then God told the fish to, and it says this word, vomit Jonah onto the shore. And Jonah is back where he started. God told Jonah again, "Go to Nineveh." And Jonah said, "I don't want to go to Nineveh." But this time, he realised that he couldn't beat God. So he went. And God told Jonah to tell the people of Nineveh that they had 40 days before he would destroy them and their city. And Jonah's thinking, "Good, they deserve it. That's more like it. Destroy the city." And Jonah goes to the city and he tells the people, "You've 40 days before God's going to destroy your city." And lo and behold, the people actually believe him and they repent. And they said sorry to God. So sorry were they that the king also got on board and realised that they had to repent of their ways. And he told everyone to go on a fast and not to eat or drink anything. And God forgave them. And they were saved. And not surprisingly, the people thanked God. And they said, "We will serve you from now on." And they did. And now Jonah is still angry. He can't believe God saved them. They were a bad nation. They didn't deserve to be saved. They all supported the other team. They should have been destroyed. And God said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Which didn't help Jonah's demeanour. So throwing his rattle out of pram again, Jonah goes and sits on a hill on the east side of the city under a shelter he had built. And he waited for the city to slip back to their old ways. But God in his love provided a leafy plant and gave Jonah shade because as we all know. It's incredibly hot in the Middle East. You don't really want to be sitting out in the sun. And then the plant dies. And Jonah's got to hump again about this too. He's not a happy man. Jonah's really is a big misery. But God says to Jonah, and I quote from the Bible, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," Jonah said. "I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It spread up, it sprung up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left?" So, my question for us is, what can we learn about God's mercy and his grace from the book of Jonah? Well, I would suggest, one, God is always willing to give us another chance. And two, God is a loving God. Three, God loves his people, and that's everyone. And four, God is patient and kind. Stephen Fry said this about God: "How dare you, God, create a world in which there is such misery? It's not our fault. It's not right. It's utterly, utterly evil. Why should I respect the capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who created a world which is so full of injustice and pain?" For I continued, "Because the God who created this universe, if it was created by God, is quite clearly a maniac, an utter maniac, totally selfish." Well, I agree with Fry, but that's not the God that we've just read about. That's not the God of the Bible. It's a God who Fry has made up in his own mind. It's not the God who gave us, who came as Jesus Christ. God came in the form of Jesus to show us how to live this life and how to love one another. How much more could this world do for each other if we did not spend so much money on defending ourselves? Not to mention the rest of the money that we waste on pure greed. How much better would the world be if we truly loved our neighbour as we love ourselves, as God loves us? Fry's God is not the God of the Bible. It's not the God I know. Our God the Father does not hold on to the wrongs once we have repented. There are several passages in the Bible that indicate that God's forgiveness, God forgives and forgets our sins. Isaiah 45, verse 20, chapter 43, verse 25 says, Even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers those sins no more. And Hebrews 10 explains how Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for sin was a once and for all sacrifice. Jesus paid for our sins once. His payment was complete. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, "For by one sacrifice he, Jesus, has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." The Holy Spirit will testify to us about this. First he says, "This is a covenant I will make with them after this that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." And then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. These passages make it obvious that God does not remember our sins. However, God's not remembering is not what we usually think as forgetfulness. God is omniscient. He knows everything and he forgets nothing. However, he chooses not to remember things. In human relationships, we can choose to remember the offences someone has committed against us, or we can choose to forget them. To forgive someone, we must often put painful memories out of our minds. We don't actually forget the sin, and it's not that we are unable to recall the offence, but we choose to overlook it. Forgiveness prevents us from dwelling on past troubles. Just as in the book of Jonah, God will keep giving out, keep giving us a chance to change, to come to him, up to the point, and that point only God knows. And that point is our last day. So God will always be there for us, holding out his hands, waiting at the door for us to come and let him in. And sometimes God will ask people to do things, just as he asked Jonah to do things. When I heard the call for ordination, I was a Jonah. I ran. And I know many who now also are ordained, who also ran. And I ran away and thinking, who wants that job? I stopped talking to God. I stopped praying. I stopped for about a month or so. And I couldn't work out what was going on. In my inner soul, I was unhappy. I was disturbed. And being a little bit slow, I eventually worked out that it was because I'd stopped praying to God. So I started praying again. But I wouldn't pray at first about the ordination issue. And when I did pray about the ordination issue, I felt God tell me to go forward for ordination. And being me, I thought God's got this wrong. So I stuck my chin out and I went forward. And well, as you can see, God didn't get it wrong. I did. So here I am. A God is a gracious God. So just to recap, God is always willing to give us a chance to change. God is a loving God. God loves his people, and that is everyone. God is patient and kind. To Jonah, to the Ninevites, to you and to me. And we, if we believe in Jesus, should be just as loving and kind to others. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are the God of second chances, and that you choose not to remember our sins once we have brought them before you. Help us, Lord, to shine your light into the world, into our families and our streets and all we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.